from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Stay where you are. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
Anthony Scirfo.
Good morning, Dr. Palmer. That was excellent.
I do my best.
An excellent introduction.
I know that while Al is singing, we shouldn't really be speaking over his voice, but we will, because I want everyone in our audience to gather close to the radio, and I want you to say, "Aww." And the reason why I want that is Dr. Anthony is here with 101 fever, and he doesn't feel well. So come on now, everybody. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. But I do notice that no one really wants to sit too close. So I'm sort of in isolation here, but that's okay.
We can give you sympathy, but we don't want your cold.
Okay.
You know, that's the way it goes, kid.
I'll try my best.
I love you, but not that much.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. And we got some show lined up today.
We do?
Yeah, why don't you tell them about it? This is...
What are we doing?
Dr. Palmer, I've been waiting for this show for several weeks.
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing? Dynamite. Tell me.
Well, you know, I always profess that women make up 70% of the population of the parishioners.
That's a myth. That's a myth.
No, it's actual. I did it. I do my own test. I don't rely on the other surveys. But we got something new coming on.
We do.
You heard it, a men's conference?
Yeah.
These women are not going to be outdone. Now we're going to have a women's conference.
Oh, my gosh.
We got the chief honchos of the women's conference here. Melissa?
Yes, we do. Hello.
And Peter.
Joe.
Sorry. I'm very good at names.
St. Peter.
And also, we also have Ted Gentile here.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I knew it. I knew it all along. I mean, I was just
you were just playing with
me. I want you just to talk, because I like it the way you sound so nasal with a cold. And if you notice, listeners, he didn't say, don't touch that dial. He didn't say that today. He couldn't do it. He tried, Lord, but he couldn't do it.
We'll have it better next week. We'll do a better job next week.
Okay, we certainly hope so. You know what? I think I just scared the hell out of people listening by saying, all over Long Island, cars are crashing.
You could never scare people, because when they come over to me and say, I listened to the show, you know, the show you with Dr. Palmer, they always mention your name.
Oh, you know what they tell me? You know what they tell me? Please be nice to Anthony. He's very fragile.
Thank you. Whoever said that, thank you.
It's the same person who motivated me to say, poor Tony. He's got a cold.
By the way, I got to tell you, you do have loyal listeners. I mean, there's an elderly lady who I love dearly that listens to the show every week with her son. Her name is Philomena.
Oh, I know Philomena.
You know Philomena?
Sure. Oh, Philomena, you got to call me. You can't call me. I got a different phone number.
Oh, okay.
I want to give my new phone number over the radio. It's 516-423-0405. 423-0405. I had to change it because I switched to a different provider who lost my old phone number.
Oh, how nice.
And I'm just looking for customers.
Well, that's very nice of you. It's very nice of you to give it over the phone with millions of people listening. You know, we're up to millions of people. Well, anyway, Philomena is a dear lady and a loyal listener, and I love her. And I just want to shout out to her and say thank you, Philomena. Thank you for you and your son listening to us every week.
And I have her whole family in prayer, and I know their needs, and I thank her. Okay. We have Melissa Micelli and Joe English. And these are the head honchos, as you said. These are the ones who are doing the Women's Conference on October 13th at Curie of Oz in Merrick. And it begins, what time does it begin? 8 a.m. registration? 9 a.m. conference?
Doors open at 8. Okay. Mass. Shortly up to 9.
Okay. So, Melissa, let me ask you a very simple question. Why are you so crazy to get involved in this?
Great question, Palmer.
Well, when God asks you to do something, there's really not much choice.
Okay.
Dr. T.
Okay. That's all right. Good. What happened?
Well, like you said, the men have had one for 5 years. And I know my friends and I, we've been, some of them even going to the drastic measures of trying to sneak into the men's conference under the guise of being a camera woman.
Right.
Yes.
So we've really been longing to have one for a few years now. And I believe you were saying before we started tonight that it came up in a diocesan meeting.
We were at a meeting and Marianne Sheridan was sitting there. And we were talking about the men's conference. She says, men's conference. I'm so tired of men's conference. When are we ever going to have a women's conference? So we said, you want a women's conference? You do it. And she did.
And that's what happened.
That's the dynamics of women in religion. You want to do it? They'll do it. They have no problem.
Right. And she is a dynamic woman.
Yes.
And that's why she's RMC for the event.
Oh, she's the MC.
Yeah.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Tell us about the people who are going to be there so that the women who are listening, is it possible that men could sneak in?
Oh, I was going to ask that question.
You have to be a volunteer or a Knight of Columbus who's leading our procession on the way into the Mass.
I'm a Morning of Columbus.
I'm a third degree.
You might have a chance then, Tony.
Tell us.
We'll leave that one up to Ted Gentile. But, for anyone who listens to EWTN Radio, Teresa Tamio is coming. She's talking about her book, Extreme Makeover. And it has nothing
has
to do with cosmetics.
She has a regular radio show
She does every day at 9 o'clock on Ave Maria Radio, which is in Michigan, but it's broadcast on EWTN.
I would like to interview her.
Oh, my goodness. Telephone.
I really would.
She's a firecracker.
See what you can do for us, okay?
And what's her book?
Her book is called Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture. So it has nothing to do with cosmetics or lipstick.
I love that. Not conformed to the culture.
She's talking about a real makeover, which is a makeover in Christ, a makeover in the Spirit.
Wonderful.
And she's a strong woman.
Oh, yeah.
So she'll have us entertained and laughing and
inspired. Marianne is
the MC. She's the resident class clown.
She is impressive, Marianne.
Yeah,
she's impressive.
She has a lot of energy.
The moment I saw her, she was impressive.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And she's really sparked the young adult community here on Long
Island.
Yeah,
she's helped us a lot with everything we've done.
That's where Joe and I really started with her.
Yeah. Really?
We actually do young adult ministry. So we're on the advisory board.
And working with Anthony.
We organize a website for young adults on meetup.com. So that kind of led to
What's the young adult website?
It's on meetup.com.
Meetup.com.
It's a social networking site.
Okay.
So we gather Catholic young adults on Long Island.
Boy, we should hear more about that. In my practice, I have a number of young people who are just completely at odds. They don't know where they can meet other young people.
Well, we can meet them up online.
Definitely tell them to come on the site because it's opened up a lot of doors to a lot of people.
Good.
And even this with this women's conference, you know, it's a good way outlet for women to go to that site and just find out about these great events like the women's conference.
Right. So how did a man get involved in a women's conference?
What's going on here? Started this, believe it or not, because we are the sister organization of the men's Catholic ministry for Long Island.
Uh-huh.
So believe it or not, the impetus for this conference came from the men's conference.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God for that.
Well, thanks.
And what are you going to do with them, Joe?
Well, I'm going to help out the day of the event. And just be there for Anthony, whatever he needs, help setting up, making the place look good, and just helping out in general with the committee and stuff and with Ted. And I've been helping out Melissa, giving out flyers, and just like the little things, just to be there. Because Anthony's a good friend also, you know, and the men's conference has been really good to me too, personally. So just to see a women's conference, you know, just to help out.
Now tell us about Rosalind Caston. She... What is this? She wrote something called Malaris.
Oh my
I'm
sure she wishes that she wrote it.
On the dignity and vocation of women. She didn't write it.
For those not familiar with Latin or not too familiar with Pope John Paul II's writings, that's actually the apostolic letter that John Paul II wrote to women.
Shows my ignorance. Go ahead.
Oh no, he knew this. as you all know, he plays. But, right. So she'll be discussing, really, John Paul II's message for women in this day and age, talking about the true dignity and vocation of women.
And that vocation is to stand up for the culture of life.
To stand up for the culture of life.
And stand against the terrible culture in which we live.
That's right.
And, boy, was he a wonderful pope. We have a good one now, too, but he
was... Oh, man. John Paul the Great.
Yeah, really something. And that's the third, you're going to have the Sisters of Life there.
You could kind of see the theme developing with building up a culture of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from one to the next, it's kind of flowing naturally. The Sisters of Life, we are so blessed. They were a late addition and so honored because they really take very few speaking requests.
Yeah, so it was good you got them, right?
Yeah. And they felt it. They felt called to come. They said because it was one of their favorite topics, which is building up a culture of life.
And I can see where the title comes from, Women of Hope.
That's right.
Because when,
right.
you know, in my private practice, I have so many women who are so, so lost because they've just turned and gotten taken in by the culture of death.
That's right.
And people with abortions who have come to me in practice, and they just feel that it's all over for them, and that's not true at all.
And part of that hope is telling them and making them realize that we work together, men and women. And that's what I think our culture has lost, you know, with the families and stuff, you know. That's why so many people are lost.
Well, I know that people get upset when you read scripture and say, wives, be subject to your...
Oh.
But you,
we
to
all
your
love
husband.
That one.
But, yeah, but the whole quote goes, yes, and men, be subject to your wife. Mm-hmm. Love them as you would love God.
That's right.
I mean, and there's just no in between. It's a, like you said, Joe, a mutual right. admiration society.
And submit yourselves to one another.
Because God loves us. So, in other words, as a metaphor, we're loving ourselves through God. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, our show really gets involved in asking people, "How did Jesus come into your life?" And I know Tony, if he had a voice, he would ask that question today.
That's usually my favorite question. When did Jesus first come into your life?
Wow.
And how did he do it?
Well, Joe or Melissa?
Well, for me, I was at a young age, my family definitely planted the seed of going to church and being Italian too, my mom being born there. You know, we went to church and I made all my confirmation and communion. Mm. And so church was always like, in my life as a young age, but then as you grow older and your parents stop going to church, you kind of like, you know,
drift away.
Yeah, you kind of drift away as most young adults do because you're so consumed with college and just everyday life and working. And then just through the grace of God, after I met Melissa again, I just started going back to church and just little by little on my own pace. And through the years, it's just been great meeting Anthony and all of our close friends from the church and Mary Gagliano and stuff. I went back to church and I found it was more fulfilling because I did it on my own terms and it just opened up a lot of stuff and it just made me feel better.
And that's what happens to a lot of
people.
It's
God calling.
Yep.
That's an important statement that you made. When Jesus brings you back to him, most of the time, he brings you back on your terms. Doesn't actually really force himself into you. So he's bringing you back.
He doesn't impose himself
on you.
If you let him.
Free will is his theme. And he allows you to come back on basically your terms.
Right.
That's an important issue.
Right. But that's a free will choice, and that's important.
That's a free will choice.
Same as people coming to a conference. Now, we know that Women of Hope will draw people who are close to God, but we want them to pay an extra price. We want them to bring someone with them who's caught up in the culture of death and will come to hear more about the culture of life.
That's
so
right.
important that that message get out there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
This conference is going to be a wake-up call
for
all of us.
And I don't care about 70% of the people going to church are women. I wouldn't care if it was 110%. If we can get just one person to return to that conference, that's all we want. How did you get close to God? What happened to you, Melissa?
Well, I guess my experience is pretty typical, unfortunately, nowadays. Just, you know, going to CCD and, you know, the family kind of thinks that eighth grade is the end of the road, you know, that you have your diploma and that's it. And my family doesn't go to church, still doesn't go to church. So I find that's the case with a lot of young adults these days, that a lot of times we're the only one in our family that's actually going to church. And that's, we're kind of trying to evangelize our parents.
That's the reverse of
it's a role reversal.
A lot of parents, are going and the kids aren't.
Reversal.
But how did you get married? What brought you in?
Not married yet.
Okay.
But on the way there, too. Well, it really was like back in college then, you know, because high school, middle school, I really wasn't going to church, but I always did pray at night. I always, in the back of my mind, knew that God was there watching me, but didn't really know my faith after CCD. You know, what are the odds of that, not knowing your faith after CCD? But really, it was in college. And it was actually the result of an illness, like an anxiety disorder illness that I have, which was the greatest blessing in my life, you know, because when I felt really sick, that's when I opened myself to God and said, God, you know, please help me, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do, just help me get better, you know, and I did, and I got much better than I ever thought I would, you know, and then I started going to church again by myself,
and you
going to young adult groups and
people
stuff.
People find when they come back, that all of a sudden, Scripture takes on new meaning. And even the words of the Mass. I know when I came back, and not that I really was away, but when I changed and got God from being outside of me to inside of me, that everything changed. That I would listen to the words of the Mass, and I was saying, I never heard those words before. I never heard that at all. And people ask me, you know, why are you Catholic? You know, why can't you just be evangelical? Or why can't you be Pentecostal? I tell people I'm a Catholicostal, you know. but what that means really to me is, hey, yes, I have the Spirit, but for me to feed that Spirit, I have to receive Eucharist every day.
That's right.
And unless I have Jesus in me, I can be a Pentecostal. But I want to have him in me physically so I can be a Catholicostal.
Wow.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
And here in the church, we have it all. We have the Spirit. You know what? We have the body and blood.
That's saying a mouthful.
We have the church.
The Catholic Church offers it all. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior.
And, you know, the one thing we all find out is that, really, God is our strength, isn't he? Isn't he our strength? Would that be a good idea for a song? What do you think?
I smelled it coming on.
You can still smell.
I can still smell, yeah.
That's good.
This is Don Moen.
God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart. Of my heart, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail.
There is one truth tonight.
But there is one truth that always will prevail.
Hey.
God is the strength.
Yeah.
Now I have a very important jackpot question to ask every listener. What was the name of that song? What was the name? Did you remember
you
the
me.
Name? What was the name of the song? I can't
can
remember
I, should,
it.
Can I get in on this?
All right. If you get it, you get a free ticket to Women of Hope.
Nice. God is the strength of my heart.
Okay, you got it. And you can go to the
and
conference.
I get a free ticket.
You have to volunteer, though.
I can dress you up as Little Bo Peep. I think you would like that.
Sure, sure.
Or a Knights of Columbus uniform would work.
Halloween's around the corner, right?
There you go.
Now, I also noticed, hey, Tony, look at this. The New York State Pilgrim Virgin of Fatima statue will be present at the conference. That's such a special treat.
There's so many
blessings that go along with that.
And I'm sure Mr. Ted has something
There's
to do
a great
with that.
Story attached with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure we'll hear that as we go on. You know, but I know that you're dying to talk, even though I know you're sick, but it never, ever affects your ability to say anything.
No. Sure.
So, Trevor, we're going to put on the quiet instrumental music that would go behind the saint of the day. If I can catch Trevor's eye, we'll put the music on.
And if not, we'll just hum.
All right.
So Tony, why don't you just talk?
I'll start, and then the music will come forward.
Okay.
Well, I selected, and I make many of my selections over prayer. So this time, my first selection was selection, and I selected St. Catherine of Alexandria. And St. Catherine of Alexandria, like many, many woman saints, are so fixed in their determination, so steadfast in their love for Jesus, that nothing can sway them. Of course, St. Catherine of Siena is another great example. And of course, I would probably be exemplifying her, but I've done her twice, two or three times already. So I thought St. Catherine of Alexandria would be a perfect selection. She was about 18, and her name was Catherine. She lived in the Egyptian city of Alexandria. Thus you have St. Catherine of Alexandria. And that's the city that Antony the Great of Egypt had once visited. Catherine lived during the reign of a Roman emperor, Maximentus, and was famous throughout the city for her beauty. Despite this, she was the sort of person who liked to spend her time reading and studying. Indeed, she was just as famous for her intelligence as she was for her beauty. Despite this, she was the sort of person who liked to spend her time reading, especially about her religion. Indeed, her intelligence was spoken about throughout the area. Now, just so happened, like it often does, that the emperor made a visit to Alexandria, which was part of his empire. While he was there, he heard about Catherine's beauty and intelligence. He commented to his servants to bring her to meet him. As soon as he saw her, he decided, bingo, he wanted to marry her. Immediately. But there was a little problem there. The emperor was already married. But Maximentus, even though he had a wife, and he worshipped the ancient Roman gods, didn't think that the matter of him being married was a problem. Don't worry, he said. I'll have two wives at the same time. I'm the emperor. I can do anything I want to do. And that's what dictators usually feel. Catherine was having none of this stuff. She refused his proposal, saying that as a Christian, she couldn't possibly agree to such an outlandish relationship. The emperor then gathered together a great number of teachers and professors who also believed in the Roman gods. He told them to persuade Catherine that her Christian faith was nonsense. But again, she would have nothing of that. Her faith was her faith, and her love was for Jesus. She listened to them for a while and then started answering their points convincingly and persuasively. The result was that, far from getting Catherine to change her mind, these wise men began to change their own minds, and they began to convert to the Catholic faith. The emperor was furious. Wise men began to change their own minds? He was so angry and so alarmed that what would happen if Rome gave up his worship to the old gods? He didn't want any of what he described as the Christian nonsense to take hold. And that's sort of the way dictators sort of think about the Catholics and the Christians. So he gave orders that Catherine should be put to death in a particularly horrible way. He had a large wheel made with sharp blades set into the outside rim. When Catherine was to be tied, oh my Lord, around the edge, and the wheels went through her, and the nails and the blades were intended to cut her into pieces as the wheel was rolled over her. It didn't exactly go according to plan for the emperor. When Catherine was bound to the wheel, it broke and the blades flew out in all directions, flashing in the light and wounding the soldiers who were supposed to be putting her to death. Some people, all of this was caused by lightning striking the wheel. Whether that is true or not has not been determined. Catherine's execution didn't try making another wheel, his executioners. They beheaded her instead at once. It is said that a flight of angels then descended from heaven and carried her body to Mount Sinai, where centuries before God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses. Even today, there is a monastery named St. Catherine's there. People who remembered the death of St. Catherine of Alexandria with the firework that is named after her, which is supposed to spin around as her wheel did. And she's known as the Wheel of Fireworks. And thus is the story.
I could picture her as being a woman of hope, spinning around that wheel saying, something's going to happen here.
Something's going to happen.
And bing, all those things went out and killed the executioners. That's hope.
There is a prayer for her that unmarried who wanted a husband used to pray to St. Catherine. Yeah. And it was, very briefly, a husband, St. Catherine, a good one, St. Catherine, a handsome one, St. Catherine, a rich one, St. Catherine, and soon, St. Catherine.
Okay.
And that's the prayer.
So any woman who's listening, who's looking for a husband, and doesn't want to get tied to the wheel that spins around, she can just simply ask St. Catherine, bring me a good man.
Bring me a good man, a religious man, a good man, and a faithful man.
Good.
Story. Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay.
And now, listeners, we're joined, first, just in case you're getting involved for the first time and just happened to tune in, we're here with the people who have organized the Women of Hope Conference to be held October 13th at Curie of Oz. And we've had Melissa and Joe speak, but now we have Ted Gentile. And Ted, first of all, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. Thank you, Dr. Schoffel.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Ted.
And maybe, Ted, you can first of all tell us a little bit, about yourself and about your store, your shop.
Well, we have a little Catholic religious store, and that's in our neighborhood, a neighborhood Catholic store. It's really a house of prayer. It's a ministry. It's located in Belmore on Belmore Avenue, just north of Newbridge Road. And besides selling religious articles and items, people come in for help. People come in for prayer. Sometimes they have no idea when they walk in, but things happen, and their hearts open up. We had a mass in the store. The store is consecrated to Our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Mercy, because we know she's the reason why we're there. And that came forth on the move on September 24th, the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy, where this particular location opened up. And
when did you open?
We opened up, it's going to be almost 4 years ago.
Wow.
And the first day we opened up was on November 1st. That was the day of opening, All Saints Day.
And
we signed the lease on October 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
And you're on Belmore Avenue.
On Belmore Avenue.
One block north of Newbridge.
One block north of Newbridge Road.
And that's in what town again?
In Belmore.
Okay.
And the name of the store or the House of Prayer is Center of Life. But after the move, I would never go there by myself because that's too far out in the desert. We were in town and something went on with the landlord. They wanted to upgrade the town. They didn't want Catholic religious stores or whatever the case was. Anyway. It was a very hard decision. It was a crucifixion. And after the move and getting everything done, we looked at the prices for signs, and the cost was a little too overwhelming, so we needed something to be over the store. And it ended up that we had this banner, 7-foot banner, 3 feet wide, red letters, and just the name of Jesus. It went up over the door. And this is the third one that got ruined by the weather, on and on and on. But I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. So if you're looking for Center of Life, just look for the name of Jesus over this door. And right next to that is a 10-foot banner that says, God bless America.
Amen. Wow. And that banner, wasn't that on all the churches all over Long Island several years ago?
Yes, a number of years ago.
I remember that.
The name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Remained. Now, how did you get involved in this conference of Women of Hope? What are you, as a man, doing there? What's going on here, Ted?
Well,
he's doing an awful lot, by the way.
he's stealing all my questions.
Well, you have a bad voice today. Excuse me, before you answer, it's so nice that he has a cold. Because he can't say anything, he can't interrupt me, I can go on and on and on, and I don't have to worry about him.
But I love him dearly. I love Paul.
Go ahead, Ted. I'm
just
sorry.
Awesome. You got to see the smiling faces on Dr. Chioffo here. But I think the cold that he has and the 101 fever, I think it's a lesson for all of us. And what it's all about is God sends a seed into our hearts. Mm. And that seed is nourished by how we participate in our faith. And we're going to speak specifically Catholic. But something happens to it, and it begins to grow.
Oh.
And it, like, catches a fever. Mm-hmm. And once you get the fever of God, it explodes and it multiplies and it just goes on. So you got 100.
Well, we're hoping his fever doesn't explode.
This is what we need to increase our faith. We need a fever of life, of love, of the most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of Our Blessed Mother, and Saint Catherine, and all the saints that you just—I mean, that was an overwhelming. But that's true. We need this life that God presents to us. So this fever is. Again, it's a seed that grows within us, and it helps us to increase.
Oh, Ted, that's very inspirational. Mm. Really is. Thank you.
But we don't want him to get pneumonia. He's had it twice.
No, we don't want him to get pneumonia.
He's had it twice. So we don't want one time.
But it's awesome.
How did you get involved in the conference?
Well, okay, because of our ministry in the store and because of the men's conference and because what we do with people who come in for prayer, again, our heart is moved. It's not the Catholic religious store. It's being there for people. That's what it's all about. It's always being there for people. And at one point in prayer, I understood three words, and they may not mean too much, they may not sound like too much of anything, but it hit me, and I understood it. And in those three words are cry for life. Cry for life. What does that mean, cry for life? Well, when Holy Father John Paul II came here, at one point he says, America, you live in a culture of death. Mm-hmm. And here he is, he's telling us something, he's given us something that needs to be taken care of, like a hospital, doctors, emergency rooms. People come in for whatever situation, for 101 temperatures or whatever the case is, on the way to pneumonia. Yeah. But
oh my.
People, okay, there are people who are active in doing something to take care. So John Paul II gave us something. He gave us something up ahead to take care of. So this cry for life, and again, this cry for life touched my heart so much. And from there, with the ministry and the men's conference, we have to just back up a little bit. We have to understand God's creation. And I'd like to just go back to Adam and Eve. Can I just speak about Adam and Eve for
absolutely.
Just a moment?
We only have 25 creation? Minutes left, but go right ahead.
Okay. Well,
we'll
we
stop
at
Exodus.
Okay. But this is just totally awesome, and this has got to do with the whole thing, okay? Now, we know God brought forth all creation. He prepared everything for us. Everything is prepared, the universe, the stars, the elements, the nutrients, everything is all prepared. And here's Adam, and now Adam is on Earth in paradise, and he sees all creation. He sees the changes in creation. He sees everything going on with the trees, the colors, the flowers, the smells, everything that's happened in creation, and it's changing. And now God allows Adam with the animals to name the animals. He has dominion over everything. So I don't know how many animals there were, but were there just two of certain things? No, there was something happening. There was something increasing with the animals. There was a movement going on, the same thing with creation. And that's what God allowed Adam to see. What was happening with creation, that there was something that's awesome, there's no question, but there was something separate from Adam and creation. And the same thing with the animals. Adam had to see that there was something separate with the animals, Noah and stuff, but he saw the multiplication. And this was going on, and Adam is beginning to realize something very serious. And that's where God now says, or understands, that it's not good for man to be alone. And that's what this whole thing is all about. That's what life is about. And we know that God performed the first surgery. He put Adam to sleep, anesthesia. And now he brought forth from Adam, he brought forth the most precious creation above creature, above creation and above the animals. And when Adam woke up and saw Eve, he saw this. He saw the dignity of something special. And we know that he was overwhelmed to the point where he saw the soul. He saw the soul in Eve, but he saw something else very special. Now he knew that there was going to be a multiplication. As the creation was changing, the animals were changing. They were multiplying, but Adam was alone, left alone. How could there be anything else? It had to come through a woman. So Adam recognized this and understood this. So here we are back now with understanding this and cry for life, these words of John Paul II saying about the culture of death. Well, pounding on my heart. And when I expressed this to my son Anthony and talking about this, we got to do something. We got to get a women's conference. We got to get it going. We got to move on it now.
And Anthony did the men's conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Anthony's yeah. blessed. There's no mm-hmm. ifs, ands, or buts. I'm not speaking out of father. This kid, I call it a soul to Paul conversion. Mm-hmm. He is blessed. God is using him overwhelmingly. So here we are talking about this and everything, and with all the pressures, there's so much pressure that's going on with people. Everybody has so many things to do, and coming out of the men's conference and doing with so many other things. We don't got time for this stuff now. Well, that's not the case, Anthony. We got to do this. We got to do this now. How's it going to happen? God will provide. Who's going to provide the money? God will provide. And so we started thinking about it, and again, pushing it, you know, moving forward and speaking about it. And people became very interested. People from the diocese, Mary Ann Sheridan, became very interested, okay? And people.
And when she gets interested, you better watch out.
Yeah, look out, world.
Better watch out. So, right. Here we are trying out, you know, now trying to move forward. And Anthony is trying to get speakers, and with Teresa Tomeo, well, as far as the dates, it just didn't. There were no dates available, and somehow praying, something opened up on October 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Here we are, a very special day, not any day. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about the theme for the women's conference, you know, what are we going to call it? What are we going to do and everything? So he was hit by the Second Vatican Council's ending message to women. And in the Second Vatican Council, which is extremely important, it's all about women, it's all about Mary. It's making Mary known. People talk about the council, about this, no way. The council is the greatest blessings that we have here in our church, the Second Vatican Council. And what came out of the ending message is that we are approaching at this time of history where women are to achieve a strength of holiness. And here we are. And this hit him very hard. And now the theme, Women of Hope, came forth from that. And it's interesting how here we are today speaking about this. And you put on our song from Dan Moen about God is the strength.
Well, that's what it was.
I mean, like, and here's the strength of women, of holiness, of coming forth. So this is all coming together. The speakers are beginning to come together with a lot of prayer. Who's going to pay? How is it going to provide? God will provide. Center of Life is back in this conference and doing whatever it needs to be done, and it's going to be special. It's not just going to be something that's going to be. It's going to be very special for women because women are delicate, women are precious, and it's the only way life can come through women. In the
whoever told you women were delicate? Come on, what's this delicate
this
stuff?
This is precious, and this is about life. It's bringing forth life. It's coming from that culture of death where God is giving us the opportunity to wake up. And it's interesting how involved with the men's conference. Here we go back to the men's conference. If you think about it, the men's conference, okay, well, let's look at Adam, men. And from the men's conference, in a sense, the women's conference has come.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and the tickets are $30 a piece, and they can be gotten, listeners, women.
We have a website, www.catholicwomensministry.com. Or if you are intrigued by what Ted has said about his store, you can drive up Belmore Avenue, you can look out for that big sign, and you can go to Center of Life Store in North Belmore, New York.
And the telephone there is 516-409-6201, 516-409-6201, or you can actually register the day of the conference, but we prefer to have you committed in advance so we know that we're going to have not everybody will have a seat. We only have a certain number of tickets available.
That's right.
And so it's very important. Tickets, you
know, another good feature is that the Mass is being said by the newly ordained Bishop Robert Brennan.
Actually, it's going to be a new priest. It won't be Bishop Brennan. We had a change with that.
Oh, was there a change?
The Blessed Mother brought in a new priest for us, Father Duffy.
Okay.
Who, like Anthony, is totally blessed, totally on fire, and a wonderful speaker.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right.
Good.
And this
I'm glad I brought that up, by the way.
Yeah, this is for women of all ages.
Oh, yes.
And mothers, you can bring your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That would be beautiful to have a mother and a daughter, and grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter. Wouldn't that be nice to have two or three generations just getting the same message of hope?
No, that's a real girls' night out.
Yeah. Well, it's girls' day out.
Girls' day out.
Now, tell us about the award, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah.
The award that we have, again, is the Gianna Mola Award, and it's all about life, and it's the preciousness of life. And it happens to be the role of motherhood, if you look at the image here, it's a mother holding her child in such a precious way, and it understands as far as how God holds us also too, how precious we are to God, each and every one of us, not only women, but all of us are precious to God. So this award shows the precious, the love. It's all about love, how God loves us, how we are loved by God and our Blessed Mother. And this award is going to be given, again, as a sign of Woman of Hope.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about how much God loves us, there's a beautiful song that Lori Mangano does. It's called In Heaven's Eyes. And men and women, listen to the beautiful words here.
Like you. In heaven's eyes.
You know, it's funny. You know how that song was chosen? I was in a rush yesterday, and I'm saying, what am I going to do, Lord? I don't have the music together. Tony's coming. We have to meet. We have to talk about the show. We have to sound like we're geniuses on the air. What are we going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? You got to pick out a song. And he picked out that song. And I'm saying, "That why? Women aren't losers. What's going on here?" And he just said what you said, Ted. God loves us all, no matter how we feel, despite how we feel. He loves us. And you know, when you have Women of Hope as a theme, we tell every woman listening, come out, feel God's love. Let him touch you with his blessing. That's the day. And why not bring, we say 400 women, that's the maximum we can have. But I don't care if we have 1,000. You know, come, because
we'll
it's so
way.
Important. Yeah.
And
oh, wait a minute, Dr. Anthony's going to.
Just so happens.
He's getting from his bed. Here he comes.
Here I come. It just so happens that the award you selected, Giamma Mala, had a very interesting life, but it also emphasized her determination to be consecrated to Christ, and nothing would sway her from that determination.
That's wonderful.
And I think it just depicts so beautiful woman's determination, their inner determination for the love of Jesus.
That's right.
It's a great job,
Ted.
And your dissertation was very spiritual, very very good, Ted.
And I think we should talk about why women should really come to this conference.
Go ahead.
Not
Absolutely.
Only to be inspired, but Hallelujah. Because we're on a mission, and we're on a mission now to change the world in this day and age.
Absolutely.
You know, and I have some words, if I may,
yes.
from the Second Vatican Council, which is in that funny Latin letter that we talked about before, Mulieris Dignitatem, that the hour is coming, in fact, has come, when the vocation of women is being acknowledged in its fullness. The hour in which women acquire in the world an influence, an effect, and a power never hitherto achieved. That is why at this moment when the human race is undergoing so deep a transformation, women who are imbued with the spirit of the gospel can do so much to aid humanity in not falling. And that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
And that's wonderful. Yes. We're going to pray for a few moments.
Yes.
Just that yes. God touch the hearts of all the women who are listening, and ask them, are they willing to step forward to be touched by your love, God? Are they willing to do just what Melissa read that the Pope had said? A time for women to come to the fullness of life in Jesus, where they will impact the world and do just what Melissa said, begin to change the world. And so, Lord, we place all of our listeners' hearts in your hand. And we ask you now, send out your spirit. Touch their hearts, Lord. Invite them. Invite them into your world, into your culture of hope, and into the new life that you promise for any woman who steps across the boundary of time to come into the unrealistic world, if you want, of a God's love, a God that you can't see, you can't touch. But we know from our experiences, Lord, he sees us and he can touch us. So ladies, I don't care what mood you're in. I don't care what you're suffering from. Step forward. Step across the boundary of time and come into God's world, God's culture of hope, and God's culture of life. And we also pray for all those who have sent their petitions to us, Lord, because we know that you bless them. We haven't been in the studio for a couple of weeks because we've been traveling and having other commitments. But we're back, Lord, and we're knocking on your sacred heart and say, will you pour forth your love? Pour forth your love on all of our listeners, Lord. Amen. Ted and Melissa and Joe, we thank you. We're not completely finished, but we want to thank you before we run out of time for all of your efforts in putting this whole program together. What a wonderful thing you're doing. You're putting everything that you have in God's hands, and we thank you for that.
Thank you for having us.
And you know what? I'm getting that you're awakening the power of the woman in the Christian faith. You really are.
The truth is about life.
It's all about life. Yes, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful dissertation.
I'm very excited.
Praise the Lord.
And we know with all of the negative stuff that's going on, we see all the negative stuff coming out of the Health and Human Services and the things that are being put forth for women to get abortions, the women to have conception, all paid, all this, an attack on the church, Catholic Church, and on religious freedom. And we just can't stand for that.
And then it's you specifically gals, an attack on women.
Yeah, you're standing in the gap. You're standing in the gap, and it's wonderful that you're doing that.
Oh, man, that was very beautiful, by the way. What did you say? Mm-hmm. You touched me.
I'd ask for a hug, but I don't want to catch you cold.
Not today.
You know, when you put everything in God's hands, He will never let you down. The last one. He'll never let you down. And we're going to close with Palmer Pascal. In God's hands. Put everything in God's hands.
Yes.
And you're going to end up with a big smile on your face.
And we thank you, listeners, for listening. And you are in our prayers, always. Thank you, listeners. Thank you.
Want to dance?
Oceans of blue, mountains of land. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. All of the earth, all of the sea. Still he has room left for you and for me. How do we fit? Can't imagine. How does he do it? I can't fathom. I suppose that he must have. Palm of his hand. How do we fit? I can't imagine. How does he do it? I can't fathom. I suppose that he must have the greatest hands of all. God's hands never let you fall. Left.